brought the church back to remembrance, those of us maybe perhaps that have forgotten, that one of the primary purpose for us as the church, the assembly together, is to make disciples. Make disciples. And that disciples, the word learners, lifetime, make lifetime learners of Jesus Christ, of the Lord. And sometimes we forget that. We want to get our church on Sunday morning when we come. I want to feel like I went to church. Well, when we come together, it's to worship God, to praise God. Amen. It's for God, not for us. That part, it is for us because it uplifts us. We also fellowship one with another, and we love each other, and we're in this together. But God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse 8, 9. He's given us the ministry of returning back into favor with God. In other words, we are, in last week, we talked about how one becomes a disciple, because we can't make a disciple if we're not a disciple. Right. We can't make a learner if we're not a learner. And this journey we're on, this journey of life that we are on, we are trying to get better, aren't we? Yeah. We're trying to do better, to do better, to learn better, to live better, and have an effect while we're on this earth. And so we talked about how one becomes a disciple. We did that because we want to make sure that we all, first of all, are in. You can't help anybody unless you help yourself first. How we and how we become a disciple. And today we want to get a little bit more practical as we answer the simple question, where do we begin? Now that we are disciples, and I know there may be some among us are still in the searching mode, and that's good. I really believe that anytime a person is going to make a commitment to do something, especially you're talking about lifetime, lifelong, you need to investigate. And we need to investigate. We need to know what we're getting involved in. We need to count up the cost, as the Bible says. Some people do things on a whim. Oh, that was good today. And we emotionally decide to do something. I mean, that may be good in some instances. But God wants our all. He says, seek him first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And but I'm like that. If you're like that, I'm like that also. I like to make sure I know all the facts, everything that's involved. And today we're talking about those of us that have become disciples. Well, when Jesus said his last things he said on this earth was go and make disciples. See, disciples are not born, they are made. And he wants us to do the same, want us to give what we have to somebody else, because there are a lot of lost people in the world. And many of them don't even realize, don't know that they are lost. And so I want to give some examples this morning from the Word of God of the urgency, the importance of individuals going out, sharing what they have, and where they started, just to give us a good starting ground on how we are to operate as we go about in our daily lives. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 40. Don't go to sleep this morning. Stay awake. I might throw something. No, I won't throw anything at you. But this is an interactive study this morning. You didn't come here to go to sleep. You didn't come all this way to Field Water Church of Christ to go to sleep this morning. We came to worship God. John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak, this is John the Baptist, the forerunner for Jesus, who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Many of you know Peter. They were fishermen. But Jesus has come on the scene right now, and he's beginning his ministry, and he's teaching. Even John, if you read before this, you would see John saw Jesus, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why, notice, Jesus reconciled us first. He got us back in favor with God if we respond to his invitation. Amen. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's what Jesus said. And so we respond to Jesus' his kindness, his love for us, and now we become disciples. Jesus has come on the scene, and he's teaching and preaching. And Andrew heard Jesus teach. Andrew, he would later become one of Jesus' apostles. And this is what the Bible says in verse 41. He found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. We found the one, Peter. He was so excited about what he heard. He knew it was the one, and he first told his brother. I think that's good. It's good to care for our family, isn't it? Amen. Our own household. And he went and told his brother. He had a good relationship. They had a working relationship. And that seems to be, would be the natural progression. If someone gives you some great information, some great tips, some great money-saving ideas, who would you tell? Who would you share that with? Somebody you love. And here we have an example of Andrew sharing this knowledge with his own brother, Peter. Look at John chapter 4, verse 39. John 4, 39. You can take notes if you want to. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him. And as we go through this, I want you to see where the gospel traveled, where the message, the preached word traveled. Here we have the Samaritans. They were the half-breeds, if you will. The city of Samaria believed in him. They believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Who was the woman? Well, you know that Jesus met a woman at the well. She was a Samaritan woman. She had been married 5 times. And I just thought this was so interesting because it says, let me read it again. The Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman. Because what she told them, and she said, he told me all things that I have done. I just found that so amazing that this loose woman, and I can call her loose because she'd been married maybe I shouldn't call her loose, huh? But she'd been married, she's a worldly woman. She'd been married 5 times. I don't know if all of them died or she killed them. But she's a worldly woman, and these people believed her. Man. Notice, there are some individuals who will not come to Christ, who will not come to church, who will not listen to anybody unless you refer them. Man. Notice, you refer. They won't come because of me. And I mean, in our lives, the only reason why they will give anybody a chance is because you know, they know you, you know them, they know something about you, and only you can do that. Amen. And this Samaritan woman used her influence. And another thing it also tells us, see, some of us, we are reluctant. Some of us that's even been baptized into Christ, and we have a past. Let me say this, all of us have a past. Yeah. Everybody got a past. Get off of that. Yeah. If I could take this aisle right here and let them come up here and testify about what they've been doing, you'd be surprised. But I'm not going to do that, y'all. Yeah, we have folk that been in jail. Raise your hand, don't put your hand up. We have people that, honestly, come on now, take off the cloak. I know this personally. We have had murderers in our audience. And we may have somebody in here right now who has done something so bad, but we're using it as a cloak, and we're not in this world to be by ourselves, to ourselves all the time. And this Samaritan woman, man, she told Jesus touched her life so much. And she thought he was coming now for physical water. And Jesus gave her living water to save her soul. Amen. And sometimes we don't spread the word because we don't realize what we have. Amen. Notice this. Jesus is the key to eternal life. You know, people spending money this time of year. We got all of these health commercials, diet plans. How many diet plans do they have? everything. Every time you come out there, somebody should, people spend billions and billions of dollars trying to look younger. Yeah, and I mean, I know it's good to take care of your body, but that stuff not going to help you forever. Amen. And we're talking about the key to eternal life, yes, to eternal joy. Yes. What can you give anybody that's more valuable than that? And the Samaritan woman, she realized, and she told, and it says that many of them believe. Ah, wow. I wonder who's in our life right now. And they are looking, they are searching, and we have not even given them a chance. They would do more with this than we doing with it. Yeah, yeah. My goodness, sir. You know what? I wrote this in my notes. The more drastic the change, the greater the impact of the testimony. See, some of your wino cousins, they used to use the term wino. I don't think they use it anymore. Your drunken nephews. Oh, excuse me. Some of my crazy uncles. Some of the ones who've done, some of us, we disassociate. I'm not saying that you have to camp with them, but we need to give everybody a chance. Amen. Because, you know, this is true. I was actually in a meeting, this brother was telling me. I've read it before. I've read it to Jeffrey Dahmer, who he's dead now, died in prison, or was killed in prison. He went to prison for murdering young men and actually eating some of them. And Jeffrey Dahmer heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and was baptized while he was in prison. And we need to be careful how we write people off. Amen. I mean, how we write folk off. God don't write anybody off. Amen. Notice. Now, we might have to pay for what we've done, but God don't write. As long as a person has blood running through their veins, as long as they have consciousness, they have the opportunity to have eternal life. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And the Samaritan woman, she didn't say, "Ooh, I ain't gonna tell. They gonna be talking about me because I've been married 5 times." She just went and told them. And you let people do with it what they gonna do with it. Yes. Listen to this in Acts chapter 10, verse 24. Acts 10:24. I'm just going down the line. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. That's the Apostle Peter. That's the background. I don't have time to read it all. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, Peter and the rest of the men that were with him. Cornelius was a Gentile ruler and had called together his relatives and close friends. Underline relatives and close friends. Now, Cornelius had a vision and he needed some help. Peter had a vision and the vision was sending him to Cornelius. Cornelius knew it was important. Notice, if something is important, very important, there is a sense of urgency. Yes. And he called all of his relatives. Listen to verse number 24. Verse 33, same chapter, Acts 10, 33. So I sent for you immediately. He's talking about Peter. Cornelius is talking about Peter. And you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by. Cornelius said, I got everybody. All my people here. I know it's important. I know it's from God. I know God commanded you. And I want everybody to be here. Question. Do you have the influence to call people together? And I know some of us have different influence, and some of us really have influence. I know who we are. Some of us in our families, we can call a meeting and everybody coming. Amen. Some of us, we had it, whether you're a mother, we have Mother's Day here. Sometimes we say, mothers, bring your nation to church. Some of you mothers, you call everybody, they're going to be here. We having Mother's Day Sunday. The elders say, invite all my kids. All y'all need, y'all better be there and wear pink or red or purple. And we say it. Come to mama's house, we're having lunch, we're having dinner, and everybody come. Just about everybody come. Why? Because you have that influence. Some people have it. Why you have it? Because probably because you've been a leader, you've been doing things, you've been helping everybody, you've been visiting everybody, you call everybody together, you've been loaning folk money. And you have that influence. And isn't it beautiful that Cornelius had that kind of influence? It's something, it's an example that we've set before somebody. People respect you. And when you have that kind of influence, it's good to use that kind of influence for something good. Amen. And Cornelius recognized that. And he said, look, you know what? And some opportunities, you know, you won't, it's some opportunities you don't want people to miss. You wanted to get it from, as I was saying, you wanted to get it from the horse's mouth. You know, you hear something, and you go back and try to tell something. It's not the same. You want them to, you know, he knew if when I Peter they come in, I want everybody to be here that day. Yes. And they were there. Everybody that he cared. Who do you care about? Where do we begin? With people that we know, people that we care about. People that we love, people that we want to be saved, people that we attend to with, people that we share. We want everybody. Don't we want our? Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine hiding some good news from my wife. Yeah. Cornelius, he used that influence. I just want to challenge the influencers in here. You know who you are. You know who you are. Yeah. Use it. Use it when you know. When you know it's something that the person needs. And I know the person, everybody needs the gospel. Listen to Acts chapter 16, 14. Acts 16, 14. A woman named Lydia. All these different characters. Some men, some women. This is a woman, Lydia. Lydia doesn't mention her husband at all. Whether she probably was a single mother. We don't know for sure. We know she was a business lady. She was from Thyatira, seller of purple fabrics. Notice this, a worshiper of God. I want you to see all of this. Understand this. There are some individuals who are religious. There's some individuals who read their Bible. There's some individuals who pray more than you pray. Amen. But they're not reconciled in the way the Bible. They're not saved according to the scriptures. Yes. Bible says God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him. Not only in the right attitude, but in truth. The way God wants us to worship him. Yes. That's in the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why we teach it. That's why we preach it. That's why I'm a Bible preacher. That's why I use scripture, because I want to make sure that I'm not leading nobody down the wrong road. Amen. According to the scriptures. Now, this lady was religious. Good lady. Business lady, taking care of business. Well respected. But she was not reconciled to God. And notice what happened. It says that. She was listening. Thank God she was listening. She wasn't high-minded. That's what get a lot of people. Some people, I haven't heard that before. That's just another. You better stop shushing off the word of God. Amen. Stop laying it aside. And Lydia had all of that going, but she listened. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Verse 15, and when she and her household had been baptized. I love that. Yeah. Children, relatives, servants, whoever they were, she had enough influence, enough respect. And you know what? Now, sometimes we say this, but some people come to Christ because you come to Christ. Amen. It's just a fact. You know, I know dad, if daddy say, if brother say, no, Kevin, you know, man, it got to be something to it. You know, you don't just get in and do anything. And listen now. We want them to come to Christ on their own faith. Yes. But if they hear the truth of the gospel, they might not be as mature. They might not have done as much research as you have, but they are influenced by you and they can learn along the way. Yes. Yeah. And so Lydia and a whole household were baptized. That's a beautiful sight. That's a beautiful sight. That everybody in your house, notice, the same faith, the same beliefs, not just because they are the same, but because they are according to the scripture. That's a blessing in and of itself. Amen. Everybody in your household. Listen to Acts chapter 16, verse 32, Acts 16, 32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. This is the Philippian jailer. I'm not reading the background. I don't have time to read all the background. This is the Philippian jail. This is when Paul and Silas were in jail and had a jailhouse rock. The chains broke. They were about to kill themselves. And Paul said, don't harm yourself. And he taught them the gospel. The jailer, listen, the gospel works with any tender heart. Amen. And all occupations. You know, I love it. You know, I love this. We've had two funerals this week, and you know, all different kinds of people. You have bikers, guys that ride these bikes, motorcycles. You think wear these bandanas on their head, hats, and you know, some of them have big muscles, and you're looking. And men, I met some bikers who are members of the body of Christ. They love God. Stop labeling folk. Yeah. Just because you can't ride a motorcycle. They spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. He took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. The jailer got baptized. Everybody in the house got baptized. Amen. I don't want to miss out on this. Yeah. And this is not the emphasis is not on the baptism is the culminating step that puts us into Jesus Christ. Yes. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And church, when we're talking about saved, we're not talking about saved from time out. Yes. We're talking about saved from the destruction of this world according to the scriptures. Yes. The Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He said, save yourselves from this untoward or this crooked generation. Is this a crooked generation we're living in? Amen. And see, and I know now you have bad misusing good. We have folk lying, cheating. We have people that's hooking and crooking all kind of ways. And it seems like they're getting away with things. Well, it's going to be made right one day. And that's when you want to be on the safe side. Yes. And that's why the message is so urgent. And they go, Paul, the Peter, the apostles, they're preaching. And they hear, the jailer hears this message. And now he just seen a profound effect on how God was on their side. I'm not letting these brothers, they told me about you. You think I'm going to leave here? You think we're going to leave here? We're going to be baptized today. Yes. The jailer, let me read one more. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. This is what the brother read, and you're hearing for our scripture reading. But when Silas and Timothy, young preachers, came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself, Apostle Paul, completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. That was the major challenge of Paul and Peter in the apostles' day. That was the major challenge. Let me reiterate to those as members of the Church of Christ. See, we make the major challenge other things that the apostles. See, we want to convince people that you're going to hell. Well, maybe we don't do that. If you don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And sometimes we preach that message trying to point out differences in the Church of Christ and other congregations. We want to try to show people the difference. Well, of course, that is a difference. We believe that you ought to partake the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day because that's the way they did it, Acts 20 and 7. But that's a second teaching. And what do you mean it's a second teaching? See, you have to first of all convince individuals that Jesus is who he said he is. Who he said he says he is. First of all, that he came, he lived, he died on the cross for our sins. Why? So we can be safe in a safe state with God. And that was their message to the Jews. And let me say this also, when we talk about making disciples, sometimes your most hostile people are going to be in your home. The most of the individuals that give us more problem than anybody else are right. It is our kinfolk. And Paul, he preached to the Jews, and the gospel was brought to the Jews first. And you know what they did? They rejected him. Yeah, they reject him. Everybody that we talk, everybody not happy that you so-called found the truth.
Amen.
Some people despise it. Some people think you know more than them, and they don't want to listen to you because it is you.
Amen.
But they still took the message to the Jews. And this is a reality. That's just a fact. Some of it because they know you. They know what you used to do, and you know, they know what they know all about you, everything about you. And they're like, you can't tell me nothing. How you know more than I know? It's not about knowing more than anybody. It's just you found something that you want to share.
Yes. Yes.
But sometimes people don't see that.
Amen.
Let's finish reading this. He says this. He says, but when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook off his garments and said to them. Now, and that's what some of us need to learn how to do. We need to quit talking so much. After we've shared, and notice, after we've shared in love, you know, yeah, share in love. Some of us need to put that love on there real good and rub it all the way in there. We go home and tell them, see, you know what, see, y'all ain't doing nothing over there. That ain't what you're supposed to be doing. And y'all wrong, your church wrong, your religion wrong, and that. The gospel is good news. Listen, the gospel is not militant.
Come on now.
And you have individuals, and some people, some folks, we got groups. I have a couple of guys calling me and telling me, but we're getting all that stuff ain't right. I know what's right, and telling me about the black Israelites. And that's another message for another day. But see, when you get you're angry and you're talking to people, and then you don't have nothing to offer them, that's better.
Yes. Nope.
That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. It is love. It's good news. And so we need to present it in a way that people can receive the gospel.
Yes.
And know it's a better life and it's a better way. But then when you've done that, some of us, we want to preach about everything. Paul, the Bible says, Paul, he said, he stated these words. He said, your blood be on your hands. Sometimes we need to say, you know what, I'm not going to say anything else. But you've heard the truth. You've heard the truth. And he says, I'm clean. And that's what we need to be when it comes to our loved ones. We need to have a clear conscience before God. We need to have a clear conscience. I have loved ones. I have relatives who haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ. They're good people. I love them. I go to the family reunion. We eat, laugh, and play, and talk about old times and everything else. And we have a good time. But I still believe, according to the scriptures, they are not saved.
Amen.
Listen, I've shared with them my point of view of the Bible. And when all is said and done, because some people say, well, you know, the Bible is your own interpretation, and that's it. That is true to a certain extent.
Amen.
Because you have to study the Bible to your best understanding, but understanding there is only one truth.
Amen.
Everybody can't be right.
Amen.
And you have to have an honest heart to be able to look at scripture and understand what's right and what's wrong, and you make that decision for yourself.
Amen.
But there is not two truths. There is the truth, and everything else is not the truth. And I just found myself that many people that say that, they haven't really studied what they're saying. Because the Bible is not that hard to understand. When you sit down and really study it and not talk about what your cousin said, what they said at the barbershop, or I just feel like it just makes sense to me, I just believe, that gets you in trouble. Paul said, I'm clean. Then he says, from now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. I go to folk who want to hear the truth. And there are some individuals who want to be saved.
Yes. Yes.
I was at a meeting, and the preachers, I heard one preacher say, man, don't nobody want to hear the gospel. I'm just fine. Don't nobody want to be saved. I say, you're right. Don't nobody want to hear the gospel. I wouldn't want to hear it too. You talking to me like I'm crazy. I didn't say that to him, but I just thought, I said, I wouldn't, because the gospel is good news.
Yeah.
Let's sit down and study the Bible. Like, what's your point of view on that? Who do you think is going to heaven? At the funerals yesterday, some things we take for granted. Those of us in the body of Christ, I had three individuals. One brother came up to me. He said, "You know, I've never been to a funeral that they took the Bible and preached the script. I've never been to a funeral. I never heard what you just taught." And it's things that I teach all the time at funerals, giving people an opportunity to be saved according to the scripture, going right down the line. We take it for granted. Yes. And I have a Bible class set up with two individuals that went to our funerals these past 2 days. Amen. Because they want to understand what God would have them to do in their lives. They are serious about it, because when you roll in here and the casket is before you, it makes you get serious.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm taking it to the Gentile." Listen, in verse 7, then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus. Notice this, a worshiper of God. Didn't we just hear that a few minutes ago? Lydia was a worshiper of church. That's why there are individuals who are seeking. There are individuals who go to church. There are individuals who even read their Bibles. They are worshipers of God. But don't be naive. Don't think just because somebody is religious, they are saved. This person was a worshiper of God. Well, if he was a worshiper of God, he didn't need Jesus. Yes, he did.
Amen.
This is saying, whose house was next to the synagogue. Verse 8, Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, he heard the word. He believed in the Lord with all of his household. See, because when a person is taught the gospel right, obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we covered last week of how one becomes a disciple. See, obeying the gospel is more than in your heart. See, a lot of people, they want convenient religion. Well, in my heart, people go, "I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ." Well, that's good, but that won't save you by itself. A lot of people believe in Jesus.
Yes.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, "For he's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." What do you obey? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what you have to obey. That form of doctrine which is able to save your souls. Solid as a rock. This man was religion, and he stayed next to the church house. And when he heard the truth, he said, "This is it. I'm getting baptized, not tomorrow, today." Everybody hear this message. Now, you can't make anybody get baptized. And that's what God doesn't make us do anything. But oh, he extends that. And that's what we're talking about making disciples. This message rings out. Everything we do, all of our ministry in this church, Fieldwater Church of Christ, we have so many ministries. You look on your bulletin, we have so many ministries, so many things that are going on. All of them are driven. All of them are driven by the fact that we're trying to reconcile people back in favor with God. And to those that have not been baptized, to get baptized into Christ. Those that have been baptized, to stay in Christ and to keep maturing as a saint until you die. And that has to be a sense of urgency. See, it has to stay on the forefront of your mind when we're doing things. Well, how am I acting? I don't want to be talking kind of way to make somebody stumble. I'm trying to lead this person to Christ. Yeah, we might go to the ball game. We're going to act like we got some sense because we are disciples. We are disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In all things that we do. And these individuals were baptized. I want to end this on a very practical note. I'm just taking one example because there are many in this church, but I wanted to share this with you. The brother was kind enough to share this information with me. Brother Ben Wilson, who is now one of our elders, he and his wife, Candy Wilson, faithful members, they were baptized in 1979. Actually, they were invited to attend worship. They were searching. They were in a seeking mode. They had been a bunch of different churches. They heard a message. It was the simple gospel truth. And Brother Thomas Foster was the minister at the time. And they actually got baptized the same day that they came to worship service. And those of you that are visiting you in church, in this Church of Christ, That's why this water, we keep this, see how it's kind of moving a little bit? It's warm. It's purified. Yeah. And it's ready. See, we don't teach a wonderful message and say, look, next month, next week, 5 weeks from now, or when we get enough candidates, we'll baptize. And that's not the way we do it. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for our sins. You hear that message. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, if you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believe, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32, and you're willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, because baptism completes our obedience to Christ Jesus, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so we extend that invitation after every sermon, because we want to give a person the opportunity to be baptized today. That's the way they did it in the Bible. Is that hard to interpret? Is that hard to understand? Well, no, we wait. Well, they didn't wait in the Bible. You know why they didn't wait? That's why even if an individual has been baptized before, if they didn't understand what they were doing, then they haven't been baptized according to the scripture. Because if they weren't baptized at the point of their message that they heard, they didn't believe baptism was necessary for salvation. And I believe the Bible teaches that baptism is necessary. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. The baptism completes your obedience, and it helps to wash away your sins. So that's why we'd ask the individual that's been baptized before to do it again and do it right this time. That's why we do it. Amen. And so Ben and Candy were baptized in 1979 because they felt that sense of urgency. And soon after they were baptized, they began discipling. They discipled their siblings, their brothers and sisters. And then Don Rideau, Candy's sister, she worshiped with the saints as a visitor. And then she also attended what we call a gospel meeting. And Don was baptized in 1980. Carla Robinson, also Candy and Don's sister, obeyed the gospel in 1981 after being invited by Ben and Candy to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And Brother Robert Harper taught Carla the gospel. Carla met the man who she married, Chris Hooker. And Chris Hooker was baptized in 1981 after being invited to worship by a college classmate. Don Rideau's husband, Ed Rideau, who's now faithful here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, all of them are. Ed Rideau, Don was baptized first. Ed was not baptized. So there's some wives here now that are baptized and your mate is not baptized. Well, you know what? Don't let your mate stop you from being saved. Amen. Now, it's not that you're being defiant and you, but you know, we stand before God. We don't go as a couple, Brother Gary and Sister KB, okay, God, here, we ready, give us our judgment. No. You go on your own. Amen. And on your own merit. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so listen, we love each other. I love my husband. I love my wife. But I want you to be saved, but baby, look here, this one, look, I'm not waiting on you for this one. Ed was baptized after his wife, after he visited the church and a church activity, one of our church pictures. That's why I say all these activities. See, Ed was a hard case. He was kind of, you know, like a lot of us men, I know I'm leery. You go into a strange setting, go into church, well, who in here? Who like you? Somebody, one of them probably like you. You know, we just look, you know, you leery of people. All these, I don't know these people, man. I don't know these people, they don't tell them who in here. Some of us, we had that attitude. Some of us, it takes longer. Yes. You know, that's just the real deal. But Ed was baptized. Notice this. And Lord have mercy. When he was baptized, some of the hardest cases are some of the best disciples. Craig, now listen, Craig Robinson, that's also Candy, Carla, and Don's brother, was baptized in 1993 after being introduced to the church by none other than Ed Rideau. That hard case brother-in-law. Craig's wife, Christine Robinson, was baptized in 1995. Her mom and aunts taught her about the church, her mom and aunt. And Christine's son, Quincy, was baptized as a preteen. Isn't that amazing? The household. It doesn't stop there. Albert and Dorothy Robertson, who are Candy, Carla, and Don's parents, were introduced to the gospel by their children. By their children. Assisted by Brother Anthony Curvey. And they visited the Fifth Ward Church of Christ whenever they were in Houston. God rest their soul. Both of them have passed away. But before they passed away, Sister Dorothy was baptized at about the age of 68. Brother Albert was baptized at about the age of 70. Doesn't matter how old you are. 76 years old. And then Brother Ben Wilson baptized his mother. She's very ill right now. Irma Wilson in her late 80s. Praise the Lord. Sharing the good news. Then Ben and Candace Wilson's children, Stephen and Ashley, were baptized in 1991 and 1997. Ed and Don Rideau's children, Jason, Brittany, Whitney, were baptized in their teens. Jason's wife, Vanessa, he was married not long ago. They just had a new baby not long ago, was baptized in 2015 after being introduced to the gospel in the church by Jason. Chris and Carla Hooker's children, Alan and Hillary, were baptized in 2010, 2012. At the ages of 15 and 16. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Listen. No, and in most of the cases we've just read, the person that invited didn't necessarily teach them the gospel. See, listen, I'm not a Bible school teacher. You're an influencer. You're a learner. And some of us are Bible school teachers. Listen, we're talking about making disciples. Just think about this. If let's say 100 of us just went out, if 100 of us went out this week and simply invited two individuals to something. We're having an activity fellowship tonight here, activity night. Our activity fellowship committee do a great job. They have prizes, games, food, after worship service. Many of you don't have to work on Monday. We do it. Monday is a holiday for most of us. And so we try to have a fellowship where, you know, in church service, we're a big church and we have two services. We don't know each other. We'll get to know each other. We laugh and talk about your kids and everybody in the fellowship. Good. Everybody here is welcome to come. And you're welcome to invite somebody to come. And they don't have to pay. Because we already paid for it. Amen. Amen, somebody. The church did. Amen. And so why do we do it? That's good. I like that. That's fun. That still is designed for us to help make disciples. Amen. Everything is. So invite somebody to a church picnic, to a fellowship, to a home fellowship, to a singles ministry, to the youth ministry, to the youth retreat, or a men's retreat, or a woman's retreat, a marriage retreat. Invite somebody. It might be the person you marry. Yeah. And so if you're here today, you're not a child of God. You come by faith, same way, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You come by repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. You come by confessing Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10. You come by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Understand this also. I know some of us are shy. You know, many of us are shy. We want you to come right now. We'll baptize you in a minute. We got clothes in the back. We have for some sisters for that hair you bought. We got a hat for your head. I'm sorry. We got clothes. The water is one. Brothers too. That hair you bought too. Yeah. We have water. But some individuals are kind of shy. Some individuals will tell us even we baptize individuals after church. Haven't we, Brother Harvey? Don't we do that, Brother Victor? Some people say, Brother, I'm kind of. It's all right to be shy, but don't be ashamed. Amen. You can't be ashamed that you are a child of God. That's why the Bible says, confess. We confess with our mouth. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Can't be ashamed you're a Christian. We understand being shy. We baptize Monday, Tuesday. If you baptize, we baptize Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We do. If you baptize on a day other than Sunday, raise your hand. If you're in here right now, look around. other than Sunday. And we do that because we think it's that urgent. I baptize individuals at 1 o'clock in the morning right here. Now look here. Don't call me tonight. Come on right now. Now listen, I don't mean that. If it compels you and you want to come later on, hey, let's see, Harvard. Remember this number, sister. If you want to get baptized, you have a bulletin. One of the elders, if you have a bulletin, look in the bulletin. Let me see your bulletin. We have our elders on call 24/7. I'm trying to see who it is this month. Who's our elder? He probably saying, Brookier, there you go. Who's the elder this month? Okay, the elder this month, Brother Lee, he was here this morning, the first service. He here. This is his number. I think this is his cell number. And Brother Ben Wilson, who is, both of their numbers are in the bulletin. Call one of these numbers. But if you're here right now, you can be baptized today. You can come to the Lord right now. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
There's a fountain free, tis for you and me.
Let us hasten to its reign.